Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us today. We're awful glad that you came to worship with us. And if you didn't get a chance, fill out one of these yellow visitor cards so we can have a record of your attendance and stick around for a few minutes after worship, and we'd like to get to know you. Couple of things. One, Stacy had forgotten to put in the bulletin that the Serving Our Kids day is this coming Thursday on April 1st. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the back. If you have any questions, you can see Sean. That starts at 6 o'clock this coming Thursday. And also, Kathy Hope has requested prayers for her and Mike's niece, Amy Gist, that has had COVID for the last few weeks and is struggling with the symptoms. She's got an autoimmune issue, and that's making the recovery a little bit more complicated and drawn out. So let's go to God in prayer before we get started in our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you. We're so thankful for this wonderful day you've given us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Please hear our prayers that we offer up to you. Dear God, we come to you right now on behalf of Amy Gist, that you will strengthen her. We hope that the doctors treating her will treat her with the proper medications and the right treatments to help her. We hope that her body is strengthened and that she will get over these symptoms and be able to be restored to her normal health. Dear God, please be with us all. Be with us as we continue our worship to you. And we pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans. We're going to spend the most of our time today in the book of Romans. But we're going to look at the first two verses of chapter 10, that they may be saved. Daryl, when he read the, I thought about just saying, keep going, because you were on a roll there, you know, about the lesson. Paul was a Jew and wanted the Jews to be saved. But they were putting their faith, ironically, they were putting their hopes in things they did, in the temple, in going through motions of things. And they didn't have that true godly faith. And Paul, he would have loved to have saved the Jews. He would have loved to have convinced them. But God had other plans for him and sent him to the Gentiles. And this letter in Romans is addressed to the Christians in Rome that had not necessarily grown up Jewish. And it starts off in verses 1 and 2. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Amen. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." And these two small verses right here says so much. And Paul has so much to say just in a short message here. In verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire." That was foremost on his heart. And his prayer to God. Not only was it his desire, but it's his prayer to God. He's not taking this lightly. Is that Israel may be saved. Paul was a Jew. And he loved Israel. He was a Jew of Jews, as we see in Philippians. He had studied at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the most respected rabbis ever. He was a Pharisee. He was the son of a Pharisee. So Paul is not just some rum-dum itinerant preacher. He loved Israel. And it, like he said in verse 1, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is that they be saved. Amen. He wanted them saved. I am sure that if we thought about it, and there may be people we have, that's been our heart's desire and our prayer to God for a length of time, maybe even years, that we've prayed to God and hopefully are an influence that they may be saved. This was not a passing thought through Paul's mind. It was his heart's desire and his prayer. It was the source of his prayer. For those people in our individual lives, realize we want them to be saved. And the words we say, the things we say to them, the prayer, our prayers to God may be for them. I often think also some of the nearest and dearest people that I hope would be saved, I realize I may not be the one to reach them. Some of my prayers are that God will put somebody else in their lives to reach them. And then it sometimes goes through my mind, am I the person in somebody else's prayers that might be put in somebody's life to reach them? I may not get to reach the person I want, but I may reach somebody that somebody's praying for right now. And I may be that instrument. And so can you. In verse 2, he goes on to say, for I bear witness to them. Paul knows them. He's from them. For I bear witness to them. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal. Zeal's not enough. We see that Paul had zeal. Before he was converted to Christianity, when he was still a Jew, he had zeal when he persecuted the church. That's not going to save him. Zeal. On the day of Pentecost, those 3,000 people that wound up being baptized, I'm sure they had zeal. It says in Acts 2:5 that dwelling in Jerusalem, there were Jews, devout men. They were devout. They still weren't saved. They were devout. They knew God. They loved God. They had zeal, but they were touched when they heard Peter's sermon, the gospel message. Cornelius was a good man. In Acts 10:22, it describes him as a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews. He still wasn't saved. With those credentials, he still wasn't saved until he was baptized. And like Paul said, but not according to knowledge. They had zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, Peter's going to impart the knowledge of the Lord to them. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Paul, in the book of Romans, lays out the plan of salvation so they may be saved. All in the book of Romans. He talks about hearing. Later in the chapter that he just started out, in verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And then verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear the word of God. Wouldn't it be nice if that's all it took? Wow. We could take out ads. We could get billboards. We could put it out on Facebook. And think of how many people could be saved if all they needed to do was hear the word of God. We could reach just about everybody. But you've also got to believe. After you've heard that word of God, you have a choice. The choice is yours to either believe or not to believe. And in this same chapter, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he was the Son of God, that God raised him, he overcame death, you will be saved. And in verse 14, we just read that a second ago. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You've got to believe. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Once you believe, you've got to confess that belief to people. It's not, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he overcame death, and I'm just going to keep it to myself. You have to confess it. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when a person believes in Christ, the next natural thing is for it to change your life. You want to confess it. You need to confess it. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And verse 33, if you don't confess me, neither will I confess you to my Father. But Paul lays out the things you need to do. Repentance. If you've heard the word of God and it's led you to believe in God, believe in Jesus, that he was the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead, and then by that believing, you've made that great confession, why are you going to still stay in that same old rut that you're in? You've got to change. Repentance is required. In chapter 12, verse 2, it says, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. We used to be. But be transformed. That's change. That's change. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The change comes up here. Not only in your actions, but up here. It's looking at things different. It's thinking different. Renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We transform ourselves. That's repentance. We change. We're not the same old person that we used to be. Baptism was addressed earlier than chapter 10. Our scripture reading was chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And so many of the things we looked at was in chapter 10. But earlier, back in chapter 6, Paul talks about baptism. And he says, starting in verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That belief that we have is not only just not in the man Jesus, but that the man Jesus was the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. And if we believe that, when we're baptized, we're not only being baptized into his death, but just like he rose new, we rise new out of baptism. And of course, if we're repenting, we're not gonna go in baptism a dirty sinner and come up a wet sinner. We need to change. But Paul lays out the plan of salvation for the Romans, so they may be saved. Paul brought the gospel message to as many people as he could. He spent the rest of his life, after he had a little encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, it kind of changed him. He goes from persecuting the church to preaching the church and building the church, helping the church. And his whole message was so they could be saved, whoever the they are. He would have loved to have taken the message to the Jews, but God had him go to the Gentiles. What can we do? We can pray. We can pray for those people, just like Paul did, that we want saved. Our friends, our family, people that we work with, that we're close to, that we see every day. We can pray for them, we can pray for us to be a good example for them. We can pray for somebody to be put into their life that will influence them. We can prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves to do what we can to maybe bring salvation to them. I sure hope somebody teaches them the way of salvation. Am I going to do it? You see them all the time, maybe. We can prepare ourselves so we can do it, not just hope for somebody else. And we can teach them, not only in word, but in conduct. The one scripture I'd like to look at that's outside of Romans, and we'll end with this, is from the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That's a command. And it puts responsibility on us to prepare ourselves to be ready. Why? That they may be saved. Amen. Somebody brought the gospel message to us. At one point in our life, people have preached to us and led us to salvation. If you would like to further study about salvation, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't been baptized, study with us. We would be glad to sit down and open the Bible with you and show you what God says. Not what we say. Who cares what I say? We will show what God says, God's word. If you need the prayers of our congregation, if you would like for us to pray with and for you, we will be glad to. If you need to repent, don't go any farther today with sin in your life. Repent from it. Repent from it. And don't let that be holding you back from salvation. In our closing prayer, I don't remember who's got the closing prayer. If we could remember, Colin, if you could remember Peggy Craig, I was going to mention it and forgot it at the beginning. Peggy's homesick, and we need to remember her. This is 2 weeks in a row. She's been healthy as can be when she was working. She stops working and is spending all day with Dick. I'm no doctor. I'm no doctor. I am staying at a Holiday Inn Express this coming week, though. I'm no doctor, but I think there's a correlation there. Anyway, if we can be of assistance to you, while Kurt leads us in the invitation song, if you need our services, please come forward, let your needs be known, and we'll address those. Let's all stand and sing.